Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ron Stefanski, the host of Disrupt Ed, and I'm going to have a new show here today, which I'm going to call Send a Marine to Congress. And I'm going to welcome on the show here today, Matt Lave, who comes to us from Chicago, Illinois, has served in the military, is an AI consultant and strategic advisor to several AI startups, and has decided for a variety of reasons to turn his attention to running for the 14th District in Illinois for the U.S. Congress. Matt, welcome to this show.
Thanks so much, Ron. Pleasure to be here.
Okay, so I have a ton of questions to ask you because you and I had a chance to meet through a mutual friend, and I learned so much about you. I learned that you were a patriotic military person who served your country. And after turning your attention professionally to the world of technology and artificial intelligence in particular, you decided at a certain point to run for Congress. So tell us a little bit about this story and what prompted you to think, wow, it's time for me to get involved on the national stage in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Well, Ron, spending time in service, I got into business and I tried to keep my head down and just focus on path ahead of me and what was going on. And things going on nationally just got louder and louder and louder until I couldn't stop paying attention anymore. And once I picked my head up and saw what was going on, I felt that it was really time to go back and serve the country again and see what I can do to go to Capitol Hill and make some positive changes.
So you recently announced your decision to run for office, and you have a military wife and you have two small children. So tell us what that decision involved as a family when you're going to make this extraordinary commitment to running a campaign, but you're not self-financed. You don't have millions behind you. So you have to turn your attention to the art of raising money to run your campaign and do your day job and serve your family at the same time. So tell us a little bit about the machinations in your family that allowed you to come to this decision and put it into motion.
Well, it was a handful of conversations, Ron. That's not something I just proposed and my wife was like, oh yeah, absolutely. So my wife is a major in the Army, active duty. We've been a military family for just shy of 20 years now. We've got an 18-month-old. Second one's actually a couple months away. And, you know, I looked at everything going on. I was like, you know, I can keep focusing on myself or I can stand up and step up again like I did previously and go to contribute back to the country. And, you know, we talked through it and we decided that, you know, our family has been our entire lives a family of service to this nation. And if the choice was, you know, do I make more money and focus on myself or do I make less money and focus on the people, that, you know, what we sleep well with at night is we try to make a difference and we try to, you know, just spend our lives serving the country. So with her nod and approval, I announced last week, looking forward to it and big battle ahead. You know, definitely need help from fundraising and support and everything else, and looking forward to it. I'm excited.
So tell us about the 14th District. Tell us about your community that you want to serve here. Tell us about what some of the issues are that face those in your community.
Well, we just had a wonderful upset with the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot. Glad that she was voted out. And what has been enabled around Chicago has been just the absolute worst crime rates we've ever seen. Skyrocketing homicides. Very lax on crime policy, and as such, it's rolled out to the suburbs, and 14th District is about 45 minutes west of Chicago, and so we're just kind of picking up all this overflow from the failed policies, and within the 14th District has not done anything proactively whatsoever to fight against crime. And with that, we've also, as a state, got some of the highest taxes in the country. We're seeing right now skyrocketing inflation, so constituents, we're being crushed on both sides. We're taking the fall on inflation, we're taking the fall on high taxes, and then we've got, you know, terrible unemployment rates as well. So it's really just a very negative situation and wasn't seeing anything proactively being done against that. So that's why I decided to run.
Now, as you may recall from our earlier conversations, I told you I wouldn't pull any punches, that I was going to ask you the tough questions. And so I shared a little bit about my changing political perspective over the years and my concerns about what's happened specifically in the party that you're running with, the Republicans. And I've spoken at length with you about the concerns that I have that the party's been co-opted by a number of extremists who have taken to sort of a cult following rather than a constituency. And I'm not actually even convinced that they're conservative in nature. As much as they are people who are seeking to gain attention with flashy headlines, and their claims are not necessarily supported by the facts. So obviously, I want to hear from you. If I'm someone who has a growing level of distrust within that extreme faction of the party, how do you feel about it? And what are you going to do if you're elected to address that?
Well, I think twofold. One is, a lot of that depends on when I do get elected. Well, that's the DC Beltway kind of politics. So know what to address and how to address it when I get there, as obviously we're going to be going into the election cycle and have no idea what the outcome is going to be, other than I am obviously representing District 14. On the other side of that, I would say, the true conservative values, what it really comes down to is smaller federal government, less interference in people's lives, keeping the government as lean as possible in order to carry out policies that protect and preserve our liberties and freedoms. And we've gone very far away from that. We've let it creep over the years, bit by bit, into a large, overwhelming government to where you can see the not just the deficit, but the trade deficit and the overall lack of reduction in the deficit, as well as we haven't had a budget for however many years that was even close to being balanced. And so the traditional conservative is smaller government, smaller taxes, let people live within freedom and safety, the lives that they want to pursue. And I've been speaking to, by now, hundreds of constituents within the district here, 14th district, and overwhelmingly, that has been the resonance with the people here, the conservatives here. There have been a few fringe members that might fall under what you're talking about that are really kind of out there, but overwhelmingly 98-99% of everyone that I've spoken to in the district on the conservative side is really holding true to make federal government smaller, leave people alone, let us live our lives, don't tax us to death, and just do the bare minimum that's required in order to keep things running without a plethora of programs kind of from the federal government reaching into every state, every district, and every person's pocket.
So I found my stride with a hardball, so I'm going to continue with a follow-up question, and that is, do you think that the Trump administration was a conservative one and honored and eschewed conservative principles during its administration?
Well, I think that, I think that Trump obviously ran conservative, and he got the vote from the conservatives, and I think it was because he was the best fit at the time. I know, I voted for Trump. And one of the reasons why I voted for him and I wanted him in office was that he was going to shake it up. He was not the traditional politician. He wasn't going to just toe the party line. And I think that was a good thing. I think he definitely made some changes. I don't know if that's the direction that we want to go as a nation. But again, that's to be decided in 2024 when the election cycle comes up, whether or not he was the traditional conservative. Well, he wasn't a politician at all. So I'd say, no, I don't think he was a traditional conservative.
Will you support Trump if he's on the ticket in 2024?
Well, I think that, I'm going to support whoever is the best fit for the party. We don't even know the landscape yet. And so that really comes down to who runs, who declares, and who makes it to the end.
If you wanted your constituents in the 14th district to know one or two things about you that would satisfy their interest in having a congressperson that is on their side, has their back, is going to Congress to make good on promises that they made in the community and took to Washington, what are those one or two planks that you'd want your constituents to most know about you?
I think one is that my entire adult life has been a life of service to the country. We've been a military family for just shy of two decades. My wife and I, our entire adult lives professionally, has been in and around service to the country. And I know what it's like to go from very difficult, humble beginnings up to creating a successful life and family within this community and within the United States of America. And I'd say another aspect would be, you know, my entire career has also been overcoming adversity. So if you want somebody who is a Marine, has got that experience, is very assertive, straightforward, blunt, and has no problem fighting the difficult fights, I'll ask the hard questions. I'll take the hard questions. I'm not going in to be a 30-year career politician. I'm going in to do right by the people. And if that's only a few terms, that's only a few terms, but we're going to come in and we're going to actually make some changes and we're actually do what we said.
Well, I should actually share with our audience here today that you and I had previous conversations where we messed it up with politics quite a bit. And one of the things that I shared with you is that my belief is that we would do a lot to shake things up in Washington if we simply put age limits on Congress, not necessarily term limits. And if you look at the vast majority of people, we're being governed by a largely white male audience of people over the age of 75. And that's a deep concern to me because I don't think many of those people, and they fall on both sides of the aisle. You know, you have Grassley, you have Feinstein, you have Mitch McConnell, all in the Senate and all in their late 80s. You know, that's concerning to me. I'm curious if you think that makes a difference in your own constituency. You're a young kid of 38. So how does that fare for you?
I think that there is some truth to that. And certainly if you put an age restriction or age limit on, there's a lot of seated politicians that would no longer be eligible. And not to call one party or the other, but you can look at the current presidency as that's someone we all are aware of and pay attention to. And there have certainly been questions about capabilities at that age of being in office. And we've, you know, seen videos of situations where we kind of question, is that who we want representing us? It's not just about, do they have the cognitive capacity? It's also, are they giving the presence to the rest of the world? The world is looking to us and has been for a long time. What image are we showing? What are we demonstrating? Are we strong or are we weak? Are we, you know, helpful or are we hurtful? And I think that, you know, the overall image is definitely tied into the age of some of the people in office. And with that, you know, being a younger 30s candidate, I've actually had quite a few people say specifically that they're looking for fresh new Republicans to come in, as when someone has been in office for 30, 40 years, they really kind of lose touch with what's going on within the community, within the environment, and just within the country in general. Whereas someone like me is coming in, I'm in business right now, but I'm going to be fresh out of corporate America, fresh out of working with all age ranges, dealing with millennials, right there front and center with a lot of the issues that are being talked about right now publicly, whereas somebody else might be decades away from that, and they just don't have the relatability and the experience with those issues really firsthand.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think as we've spoken again offline, I think you're right in bringing a fresh perspective and a fresh energy. I mean, the American public had a choice between two people in their late 70s running for office in the 2020 election. And I think it's fair to say that we need younger people running that can make it through the primary system and get to the election pulpit and the platform of the parties. I think the other thing that, Matt, that you give me a full faith in, as I look to some of your colleagues who've gone before you, I look at Adam Kinzinger, I look at Mitt Romney, I look at Liz Cheney, and these are people that are trying to rectify the Republican Party against some of the fringe assault that we've seen from the far right. At the same time, even if I were looking at the Republican Party from an opposition perspective, I think it's really important that we settle the score on this one issue. We need, I don't care if you're a liberal Democrat, a progressive, a moderate, we need two strong, viable, ethical, fact-based political parties if we're going to run this American experiment into the 21st century. We can't be mucking about with fake news, alternative news, election fraud. These are things that didn't exist before 2016. And we have to rein it in and establish guardrails so that we have two constituencies and two perspectives that all come together and fight it out and fight out the war of ideas and battle it out, because democracy is messy, but it's also the best hope we have.
So things like election fraud reduces people's faith in the system. And once you have reduced faith in the system, you have people not participating in it, which is detrimental. And then you have people not wanting to go along with the laws and regulations that are passed, which is an extremely bad situation. I mean, that's the downfall of America. We need absolutely, election free and clear of fraud, and without the crazy kind of situation that we had the last time around. I can't say enough about how much election fraud is detrimental to democracy as a whole and detrimental to the United States.
With that note, Matt, any closing thoughts about your candidacy and what you'd like to say to the constituents you're going to face in this election cycle in District 14?
Well, I think it would be great. Anyone who's interested in Republican Party, Illinois, or my campaign, Lave for Illinois, L-E-I-V for Illinois.com. You can go sign up for newsletter, see us on social media, everything that's going on. When we're in person doing events, looking for updates. If you're inclined to donate, we've got donation links there as well. And that's the best source of information for me, learning about me and seeing the concurrent updates and everything that we're doing to take back Illinois.
Fantastic, Matt. Thanks for joining us today. Again, this has been Ron Stefanski talking about the campaign to send a Marine to Congress in the 14th District in Illinois. Thank you, Matt, for joining us, and thank you all for joining us.
Thanks so much, everyone. Thanks, Ron.